اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله اشهد ان محمد رسول الله يا للصلاه يا للصلاه يا للفلاح يا للفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
So if there is still any jiga, please straighten the rows. Please fill in the gaps and show mobile phones on silent. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله العظيم. استغفر الله العظيم. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of tafsir from Surah Al-Kahf will take place. Brothers request to participate. Inshallah, baqiya namaz ke baad, baqiya dua ke baad, tarse Quran hoga, sadi shirkat taru, inshallah, fayda. Allahu Akbar. 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 No, I'm not going to be able to get out of it. I'm not going to be able to get out of it. صلى الله وسلم عليك وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب. إن شاء الله brief lesson of tafsir will take place. We will participate إن شاء الله beneficially.
الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا وأما الغلام فكان أبواه مؤمنين فخشينا أن يرهقهما طغيانا وكفرا فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك وما فعلته عن أمري ذلك تأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا صدق الله العظيم صدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي Just so this inshallah will be the last session on in regards to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam. If we remember, last week we discussed okay, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam are going through this journey. And throughout this journey, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is exposed to certain things which are totally shocking for him, very different for him, very strange for him. And remember, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam is a Nabi of Allah, either a Nabi of Allah, as mentioned. Some scholars say, some ulama say, that Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam is a Nabi of Allah. And others say that he is a Wali of Allah, but of the highest level. Agar Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam Allah ke Nabi hai, tab to wo Allah ke Nabi, Allah ta'ala se unki ham kalami hoti hai. Aur agar wo Wali hai, to awliyaullah mein wo bahut kamil darje ke awliya mein se hai. So regardless, if he is a Nabi of Allah, then he has direct communication with Allah through wahi. Wahi, because Anbiya alayhi salam get wahi revelation. If he is a wali of Allah, then he has what they call ilham and kashf. There are two modes, through sources, through which awliya kiram, the saints of Allah, are inspired to do things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is called ilham. Ilham just means inspiration. Ilham. جب انسان کے دل پر کوئی بات آ جائے اور کوئی خیال آ جائے اور ایسی باری خیال ہو اور انسان کو معلوم ہو کہ یہ خیال جو ہے وہ اللہ تعالیٰ ہی کی طرف سے ہے اس کو کہتے ہیں الہام When a thought comes in the mind and it's so powerful and overpowerful and you know that this thought is an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this is called الہام Everybody can have some form of الہام light الہام Sometimes even you know to do good deeds Hazrat Thani rahimahullah used to say, when a thought of a good deed comes inside of your heart, do this good deed, don't ignore it. This is a guest from Allah, mihman from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is coming knocking on your door, encouraging you, do this deed. Now if you ignore it and leave it, you've wasted a great opportunity. So we can all get a level of ilham, but the awliya kiram, what happens is because their ruh, their souls are so saf and so pure and so clean, their ilham is very sharp, it's very direct. And they know, okay, this is a thought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need to practice upon it. As long as it's according to the shariat, I need to do it. If it's khilaf of shariat, if it's against shariat, then nobody's allowed to do it. If it's according to the shariat of Allah, the laws of Allah, you have to do it. And alternatively, another form of inspiration from Allah ta'ala which they get is called kashf. Kashf. Kashf means for something to be removed, something to be exposed. So kashf is basically not in the control of a person. Where a wali of Allah, what happens is a barrier, a veil, a hijab of the unseen, of the ghaib is lifted and they see something with their eyes. They see something with their eyes that they shouldn't have seen, that they weren't supposed to see. They see it. Now again, it happens and certain awliya kiram, their kashf is very strong. They're always seeing kashf. And some of them, they have a lower level of kashf. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes not in your control. Some awliya kiram, through what is known as muraqabah. They purify their soul, and when their muraqabah gets more and more stronger, more and more stronger, more and more stronger, then it comes to a level where without closing their eyes to do muraqabah, they open their eyes, and by in broad daylight, a form of kashf happens where they see things that they're not supposed to see. Sometimes they'll see glimpses of certain ilm, they'll get certain knowledge, they'll find out something about a person. They'll find out something about a person. They'll know about a certain situation. And this is not, you know, I'm telling you some fairy tales. There's no fairy tales. This is haqq. This is haqq. And we know in the books of Aqeedah, karamatul awliya haqqun. The miracles of the saints are haqq, they're true. And there are many people, if we, you know, have met, our respected Mullah Akbar Sahib is here, met many buzurgan al-deen, many pious saints who do kashf, who had kashf, and you know this person, this individual wali of Allah has gained this information through kashf. Subhanallah, you know, and so the point I'm mentioning, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, if he was a wali of Allah, he had a very high degree of ilham and kashf. So what was happening was, in the books of tafsir, they mention that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam's safar was not a short safar. It was not a short journey. It was a long journey. It was over a few days. As they were traveling, most of the incidents that happened, most of the things they did were very normal, very mundane. And then all of a sudden Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam does something very strange and mind-blowing. So this is where the ulama say that Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam would get kashf in certain situations. Something would open up for him that you need to sort this out. You need to change this. You need to rectify this. So he would go and just do it. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam would not get that same ilm at that time. So he would not know why Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam is doing something so strange and so shocking and so mind-blowing. And this happens. SubhanAllah, you know, when I read about Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam and the kashf, and you just think of all the awliya ikram. I don't know in recent times, I was Sajjad Bayisi, I don't know in recent times, in Bangladesh we had Hazrat Maulana Nuruddin Gohurpuri rahmatullahi alayhi. Ajeeb individual, subhanAllah. In recent times, he passed away I think in 1996 or something. Right, very recent. Ajeeb individual. He would do the most astonishing things, and there are people, live witnesses. The author of the Safar syllabus, Marna Hassan Ali, he's from London. He directly, you know, he mentions the incident. He says on one occasion, I was leading Tarawih in London many years ago, and I had to sleep on the cold floor. Right, I had to sleep on the cold floor. And he said because I had slept on the cold floor all throughout Ramadan, I got this serious kind of chronic back pain. That every time in winter, this back pain would come, very sharp back pain. So he said, I had it for a few years from the time I was doing my hifz. And then he said, I did my alim course the whole time I had it. He said, then I went to Bangladesh to do my Dora-e Hadith, the final year of Bukhari Sharif the Sunni. And he said, the back pain was so bad that for me to get up in the morning, it would take me 15, 20 minutes to get out of bed. So difficult, slowly. Sometimes I'd have to like kind of slide out of bed, you know, because I couldn't lift my back up. Said one day I went to this talk of Maulana Nuruddin Gohurpuri. I went to his talk. Said it was a simple talk. You know, he's talking about following the Sunnah. He's talking about Sirah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Talk. He said, but there was a huge crowd. So I listened to the talk. After the talk, Sheikh went to a room and there was a line of people outside the room. So I said to people, what are they doing? They said, people have problems and they go to him and he sorts it out. He helps them. I said, okay. So I thought, I'll go and stand in the line. Because I got back pain, you know. Normally go to a doctor. He said, well, I've been to so many doctors, nobody could help me. They give me painkillers and this and that, and it's not going away. He said, so one by one, they all went in. It's my turn, I went in. And he said, he was very like stern. He said, what's your name? I said, in Bengali. And he said, my name is Hassan. From where? He said, I'm from this village. He said, so what's wrong? Why are you here? It's very stern. And he said, I've got this back pain. He said, what back pain? He said, I've got this back pain. He explained it. He said, come here. And he called him, and he said, he gave me three smacks on the back. Smack, 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 really hard. And then he pushed me and he said, go, you're fine now. Zautumi bala, is Bengali. Go, you're okay now. And I heard this from Maulana Hassan Ali himself. You know Maulana Hassan Ali is into the suffer. He says, I went back and I thought, it's very strange, very weird almost. So I went back to my madrasa, whatever. That night I went to sleep. He said, the next morning I woke up and I just got straight out of bed. And he said, I was so shocked that I got straight out of bed that I lay down again and I got straight out of bed again. He said, then I did it again and people were watching me like, what are you doing? And he said, I just couldn't believe the back pain I had totally gone. Right? so many ajeeb stories. There are individuals, some individuals it's hidden for them. Hazrat Mawlana Fazl Haq Wadi, he was once saying, and I've heard this statement, that some awliya, saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are ma'mur bil ikhfa, and some are ma'mur bil izhar. Some saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala gives them something and says, make sure nobody finds out about it. Go chupa ke rakho, hide it. And some saints of Allah ta'ala, they are told, go and show it to people, help them. You know, not show it to boast that I've given you this ni'mat, this karamat, this miracles, but go and help people with it. So some people are like this. So Nuruddin Gohurpi rahimahullah was like this. He once went to this village, and his close student who has passed away now, Nurul Islam Bishnati rahimahullah, he was saying, and I heard his talk, and he was actually recorded in London, and he was crying and he was remembering his ustad, and he was saying that on one occasion we went to a village, and some boys, some youngsters, they brought their father to see our ustad, Nuruddin Gohurpuri. And we asked what's wrong with him. And he said he used to talk fine. All of a sudden his tongue has stuck to his mouth and he can't talk. He's not able to talk. So they said, you know, what's the situation? Nuruddin Gohurpuri rahmatullah, he was doing wudu at the time. And he would describe, he was with his students, he would take his amam off, he'd put it on his knee, and he'd be doing wudu, and then he'd put his amama back on his head. So he came, he looked at him, like this. He looked at him. And as he's looking, something happened, and then he gripped the man, and he started to smack him. He started to smack him, and when he was smacking him, he was saying in Bengali, he was saying, Allahu, say Allah, say Allah, say Allah, say Allah. And the man, his tongue is not moving, he can't speak. And he's smacking him, smacking him, smacking him, smacking him. All of a sudden he goes, Allah, 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 Allah. He says it. And then Nuruddin Gohurpuri rahimahullah comes down and he says, take your father, he's very weak, he's exhausted, go and feed him, get him rest, this and that. He says, everything is fine now. So they went. So the students are shocked. What is that? What happened here? Why I'm saying this, why am I telling you? These are not fairy tales. Awliya ikiram, people that are in our time who have passed away, there are people who are alive who have it. So the student said to him, Sheikh, what was this about? He said, as soon as I looked at the man, I saw that in the past he was in Bengali they say daruga. He was a warden, he was like a police officer. And he had done zulm upon this poor person. This poor man, he had wronged him, he'd taken some bribe from him, some rishwat from him. That poor man had made bad dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sealed his tongue. He said, I looked at him and I knew that happened. So as I was holding him and smacking him, in my heart I was making dua that, Ya Allah, you have put him in some adab. These smacks of mine, accept this as adab for him. And spare him of this adab. Ye main jisko thappar maar raha hu, isko aap azab ki haisiyat se isko qabul kar le, aur ispe jo aapne mashaqqat nazil ki isko aap utar do. With this intention I was hitting him, and as soon as he spoke I realized Allah Ta'ala had accepted my dua. And I told him to go. This is all kashf. How would a person know this? Ajeeb. So the point I'm mentioning is, Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam is traveling, and wherever something is opening up to him, okay, you have to do this, he's going and he's involving himself in that situation. He's involving himself. It's not a fairy tale. Allah Ta'ala has kept so many things hidden. And most of the things Allah has kept hidden, he has hidden it in the hearts of the most simple people. No fancy people, they don't have big majlises. On purpose, they don't have big majlises, big gatherings, lots of students. Allah Ta'ala has made them very simple people who keep themselves away from makhluk, keep themselves hidden. And they do so much dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their qalb, their ruh. The same Nuruddin Gohurpuri rahimahullah, I'm mentioning one person, this one person, because I've heard so much about him, and I have so much love for him, you know. So I would listen to so much about him. And because I've met so many, my own grandfather, he studied under him, and my grandfather would mention as well, you know, he has tears in his eyes. My grandfather is in his late 80s now. So when he talks about him, he just starts crying, you know. He had, outside of his house, a small kind of like a cellar that he had dug. So at night time when everybody would be sleeping, he would go out into that cellar, and that's it. His ibadah would start, his tahajjud, his dhikr, all through the night. So much wali of Allah. He came once to Darul Umbari, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. So he's a very simple person. He speaks Bengali, although he is from, you know, in the Alum Deoband Madrasa. He came first in the Madrasa and everything. But he was a very simple person. He came to Darul Umbari, Sheikh Yusuf Mutala, rahimullah, the teacher of our teachers. Normally when guests, mehman would come, he would just tell someone else, okay, show him around the building. But he took Manuruddin Gurpir and he showed him around himself, the whole building. So afterwards someone said, Sheikh, you don't do this. Sheikh Yusuf Mutala Sahib, he said to him, you don't do this normally. You normally tell one of the students to. He said, as soon as I looked at this person, I knew he's some big wali of Allah. I thought I need to show him myself around the whole madrasa. Ajib, I don't know, we were talking on a different topic here. But the point here is, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would open up things. So remember the three things that he did. What was the first thing that Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam did? The ship that was sailing, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam broke one of the planks of the ship. And when he broke the plank of the ship didn't sink. Many of the mufassirun say, the plank was moved. If you looked at it, you'd see a ship has a big hole in it, but the water didn't come through. The water didn't come through. It's a miracle of Sayyidina, a karamat of Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam. The water did not come through. But if a person saw it, they would think it's damaged. The second one was when he saw this young boy playing, this very handsome, beautiful child playing with his innocent child, playing with his friends. He went and he actually killed him. And the third thing he did was when they were in that city, in that town, and he saw a wall about to collapse, he went and he straightened it. So three things that he did, right? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, obviously, we didn't understand, so each time he asked, why did you do this? Why did you do this? Why did you do this? So now Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam explains. He says, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ, as for the ship that we were sailing on, فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ, it belonged to some poor people, some miskins, to some poor people. Remember, miskin is someone who is eligible for zakat. Miskin is someone who is eligible for zakat. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. Allah Ta'ala mentions miskin can get zakat. So this ship, it belonged to some miskins, some poor people who were working in the ocean. فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. So I wanted to create a defect inside of it, a hole inside of it. Why? Because وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكْ. Because in front of them there was a king. The Arabic word wara literally means behind. But the lughwiyun, the scholars of language, of lugha, they say that wara can also be used to mean amam, in front of. That in front of them there was a king. As we were traveling, when we got to the next shore, there was a tyrant king there, يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا, who would take every good ship by force. He would just, you know, because he was a king, every ship that was sound, perfect, intact, he would just steal it, he would just take it. No one could do anything. So the mufassirun say there were 10 brothers. Five of them were normal, they were very poor background. Five of them had disabilities. They were disabled, they were weak, and five of them were strong. So those five brothers would go and they would work. So they had this ship, and their job was they would ferry people, transport people from here to there, from here to there. Whatever small amount of money they would get, they would feed themselves, and they would feed their five brothers who were at home, who were muhtaj, who were in need, you know, they would feed them. And they were very poor, they were masakin. And on the basis of this, subhanAllah, the fuqaha say, that this is why we say you don't need to give zakat on alat, on the tools and instruments you use to trade. You know, like if someone has a business, in the business they are very expensive Mercedes, but the Mercedes is only used to transport. It's for use for transportation, right? So, or any other, like machinery and things like that. Even if it's very expensive machinery, you don't have to give zakat on machinery. Because here, these poor people, they were masakin, they were poor, which means they were eligible for zakat, but they had a ship. They had a ship. But because that ship was used for business purposes, there's no zakat on it. So all of the mufassirun, Jassas rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, and everybody mentioned that you don't have to give zakat on tools and instruments that you use for your business. So, فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, he said, I wanted to damage it because I knew ahead of them there was a king and he would take every good ship. So all I was doing was, this hole that's there, when the king sees that hole, or when the king's police officers or whoever guards or whoever it is, they see this hole, they're going to leave the ship alone. So at least these people's business will be saved. So although you thought I was doing something bad, I damaged their ship, but actually I was doing them a favor. I was doing them an act of kindness. Because if the king took their ship, then not only will they be deprived, they will have nothing, no source of income, but those five brothers at home who are disabled, who are dependent on them fully, these people would have no food. They would have nothing. So that's why to make sure that doesn't happen, I did this. So look at that. Straight away he realized this was going to happen. And the second one, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ. And as for the child who, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, killed. فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. That child's parents were believers. They were mu'min. They were believers. And the ulama mufassirun say they were very pious people. That boy's parents were very pious people. Allahu alayhi, very pious people. فَخَشِينَا أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. And we feared and we were worried that... Go with... Come, what is it? You need to go with Qarisa. فَخَشِينَا أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. So we feared أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا, that he would pressure them. This young boy, when he grew up, he would pressure his parents into falling into sin and kufr. Mufassirun say here, subhanAllah, they say amazing things. They say that Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi in his Jalalain Sharif, he mentions hadith from Muslim Sharif, but I haven't found it in Muslim Sharif, that tubi'a kufran, tubi'a kafiran, that this boy, from the time he was born, his fate was sealed that he's going to be a kafir. I haven't seen this hadith in Muslim Sharif, but Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullahi quotes it from Ibn Jarir al-Tabri, the same narration, that tubi'a kafiran. The Khidr alayhi salam, he saw straight away this boy is going to be a kafir. But out of mercy for the parents of that child, that the parents loved that boy so much, they gave him so much muhabbat, but when he grew up, he is going to be a kafir, a disbeliever, and he's going to be so bad, and his influence on his parents is going to be so strong, he's going to make these two pious men and women, he's going to make them also leave Islam and fall into kufr, or do things which can lead them towards kufr. Automatically, Khidr alayhi salam knew this, and then he mentions, فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. So we wanted that يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا, that their Rabb, these two people, their Rabb replaces this boy with another child who is more pure, more better, and وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا, more loving and more affectionate towards them than this child will ever be. Subhanallah. Think about it. If we're the parents and one of our children passes away, especially the child who we love the most masoom one, the most cutest one, the most, you know, well-behaved one. Imagine how hurt the parents will be. But look at Allah Ta'ala's plan. Okay, this child will grow up, maybe in 20 years' time, 30 years' time, to be a bodge for you, a burden for you. Rather, he might even lead you out of the fold of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't even allow that to happen by taking him away. And the Mufassirun say, when that child was passed away, the mother was already expecting another child. And subhanAllah, they say from that mother, a child was born, a girl was born, a daughter. And that daughter gave birth to a Nabi of Allah. And that Nabi guided a whole ummah. So one child, although we have so much muhabbat, because we only see, like the scholars say, we see a pixel, Allah Ta'ala sees a whole picture. So we see a small thing, that, you know what, a child died, so sad. But Allah Ta'ala replaced that with something so much better, the effects of it carried on after the parents were dead. That from their progeny, a Nabi of Allah was born, through the replacement child Allah Ta'ala gave, and a whole ummah was guided through that child. So much better for them. A child who is better than this boy, and a child who is much more caring and much more loving towards his parents than this boy. This is what Allah Ta'ala had planned. And subhanAllah, you'll see the language here. When he came to the ship, أَمَّا السَّفِينَ الْفَكَانِ لِمَسَاكِنَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ. Khidr alayhi salam says, فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. I wanted to damage the ship. Although it's Allah's plan, Allah Ta'ala had told him to do this, but he said, I wanted to damage it. Why did he say that? And he said, there's three things here you'll see. When it came to damaging the ship, it was all negative. Like you just damaged something. There's no positive in that. So whether it's all negative, is adab, good adab. That when it's something negative, you don't attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though it's Allah ta'ala. It's like in Fatawa al-Imgini, they mentioned that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the raziq, is the sustainer, is the one who feeds everybody. But if someone just said, Allah ta'ala khinzirun ka kilane wala hai, it's very rude, very bad adab. Although it's haq, but it's, you know, very rude to the extent it can be sinful, especially if a person says it with ihana or something, you know, a bad thought. So we never ever should mention, it's like Allah Ta'ala is the creator of all good, and Allah is the creator of all bad. But if someone says Allah Ta'ala is the creator of bad, just like that, na'udhu billah, it's a very bad, you know, it's khilaf of adab and etiquette when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, because it's all damage,
There was just damage on the ship. So he said, I damaged it. فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. I wanted to damage it. In the second case, where there was murder, or killing, which is bad, and then there was replacing that with a child, with a new child, which was good. So there was aspect of bad and aspect of good. So what did he say? فَأَرَدْنَا أَنْ يُبْدِلَهُمَا. We wanted that their Lord replaced them with a better child. We wanted. So the part which was bad is me, and the part which is good is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beautifully, so subtle, that because this killing obviously is bad, and then replacing the child with a better child, this is good, because there's a combination. So he said, we wanted. The part which is bad is attributed to me, and the part which is good is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it's وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ. And as for the wall that was about to fall down, فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ. It belonged to two boys, two children, يَتِيمَيْنِ, who were orphans, فِي الْمَدِينَةِ, who lived in the city. Do you remember this ayah came before and he said, فِي الْقَرْيَةِ. قَرْيَةِ, he said قَرْيَةِ. And this small point, but I'll mention it. حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ إِسْتَطَمَ أَهْلَ. When they came to a certain village, a certain town, then they asked the people to give them food, and the people said no. Now, instead of qarya, the word Madina is used. وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَ. Madina means خُبْصُورَ شَانْدَارْ شَهَرْ. And qarya means gatya qisam ka ek shahar. Qarya is like a lower kind of way, or more inferior way of mentioning a city, and Madina is a more beautified, more kind of capital or major type of city. Mufassirun say here, over there, Qarya was used because the people were treated, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam, in a very kind of, without being hospitable towards them and this and that. But here, Medina is being used when talking about the yatims and their parents who are very pious people. Now the city is being given honor. That, subhanAllah, because of these pious people that lived there, the city is being addressed as Medina. It belonged, as for the wall, then فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Then it belonged to two orphan children who lived in the city. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. And underneath this wall there was a treasure which belonged to them. Treasure. What is a treasure? Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions different opinions, that either it was gold, wealth, or some say it was ilm. It was knowledge which was preserved for them. Some say it was a golden tablet, a golden tablet upon which certain phrases were inscribed. But most of the Mufassirun have gone towards the point that it was actually wealth, treasure. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And these two yatims, their father was a pious man. فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَا أَشُدَّهُمَا. So your Rabb wanted. Here, what is it? First, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, when he was Aib, he said, I wanted. When it was a mixture of, you know, positive and negative, killing and replacing with the child, he said, أَرَدْنَا. And here where it's all khair, you're just fixing a wall, it's something which is good. He said, فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ. Your Rabb wanted. He didn't involve himself at all. He didn't say anything to do with himself. Where it's positive, he attributed it all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ. Your Rabb wanted, أَن يَبْلُغَ, or intended, أَن يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا, that these two children should reach the age of maturity. وَيَسْتَخْرِجَ كَنْزَهُمَا. And they should extract and take out their treasure from underneath this wall. So subhanAllah, such a beautiful ayah. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi would say, every time I remember this ayah, I think of my son, and when I think of my son, I increase my ibadat. I increase my worship. SubhanAllah, these two yatim children, orphan children, they've got nobody. Their parents have passed away. But because their father was a waliullah, their father was a saint of Allah, a pious person, because of his piety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking after these two children. And the reason is, the illah is given here very clearly, the reasoning. That وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a pious man. And that's why Allah ta'ala made sure that these children, their wealth is safe, nobody can steal it, Allah ta'ala looked after them. You know, some Mufassirun say this pious man was not their actual father. He was their ancestor from seven generations previously. But his piety was so near and dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that seven generations, saat pusht ke baad, Allah ta'ala unki awlaad ki hifazat kar rahe hai. Seven generations later, Allah Ta'ala, his effects of his piety, because we see in India, sometimes a pious saint of Allah, their children are not like them. Look at Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, classic example, the best example. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam's own son did not believe in him. Own son. But we are all the children of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. His progeny, so many awliya Allah and anbiya alayhi salam came in his progeny, but his own son didn't believe. In India, you had a great saint, Shaykh Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. He was known as Qutbul Alam, great waliullah. He was, subhanallah, I don't want to go on a tangent. When I talk about these awliya, I want to talk about lengthy and tell you lots of stories, but then you go off topic. When he passed away, he had no one, his children were like, I don't think he even had children from his son. He had daughters. And then his daughters had children, and they had children. And they had some people who took over his madrasa, his khanqa, his system, but they were very dunyadar people. And they started introducing bid'ahs and urs and this and that, and they would come to his grave and they would start doing very evil practices and innovations and bid'ahs and things like that. Many generations, about 8 or 9 generations later, there was born in the progeny of Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, a person whose name was Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, who was a great waliullah. And from childhood, this Rashid Ahmed Gangohi rahimullah, in his dreams, he would see his ancestor, Shaykh Abdul Quddus Gangohi, saying, "Yo, you are the one I've been waiting for. You're the one who's going to carry my legacy. You're the one who's going to spread my message." Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala takes many generations later, it can happen. But a person's piety, somewhere, somehow, in their nasal, in their progeny, will bear fruit. So this is so powerful, ajeeb, so powerful. Of course, we think about our children, but it doesn't mean, it's like the parents whose boy was killed. We look at it and we say, "Ya Allah, how did this happen? This difficulty I'm going through." But we don't know Allah Ta'ala's plan. Allah Ta'ala always plans something which is better for us. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala always plans something better. In authentic hadith, sahih hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, "La yaqdi Allahu li'abdin shay'an illa kana fi." The Prophet, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala never decrees anything for someone, never makes any faisala for someone, except that there is khair and there is goodness in that for that servant. Jo bhi ho, musibat, mushkil hal, parishani, happiness, goodness, whatever Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala writes, there is goodness in that for you, it's just that you're not able to see it. We're not able to see it. So this is the reality. So فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا. Allah, your Lord wanted, intended that these two boys, they reach the age of maturity and they bring out their own treasure. Nobody steals it. رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ. All of the three things I did, okay, you Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, you looked at me and you thought, okay, I was doing fasad. I was doing something which is wrong, something which is bad. This was all rahmah. Everything I did was rahmah. In the first case, it was rahmah and mercy upon the people of the ship. Yeah? In the second case, it was rahmah upon the parents of that child. Allah's special mercy was going on the parents of that child. In the third case, it was mercy upon the two orphans. So you saw damage, you saw harm, but in reality, it was rahmah. Allah Ta'ala had hidden that rahmah in that harm. So this is the reality, that subhanAllah, so beautiful this lesson, that many times difficulties, hardships, automatically a person gets mayus and hopeless and things, everything's going wrong for me. But you should realize this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's test. Allah ta'ala hides so many blessings inside of his ni'am, inside of his test that he gives his servants. وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. I did not do any of this from myself, from my own accord, from my own ikhtiyar. ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. O Musa alayhi salam, this is the explanation of all the things that you couldn't have patience upon. You were not able to adopt patience upon it. Here I've mentioned to you now the detail. Why I did what I did. SubhanAllah, so eye-opening. InshaAllah, other points can probably be mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding of these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon them. InshaAllah, next we will move on to the next incident of وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. They ask you about Dhul Qarnayn and the detail of Dhul Qarnayn. Inshallah, we'll do that next week. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah.